Hi there, and welcome to Gems of Wisdom. Women of Impact is our theme today, and we want to remind you that these are the stories of Bridget's Place, a soul sanctuary for women to inspire the hearts, minds, and lives of women through art, charity, and community. We feature women in the arts who nurture creativity and abundant living for all religions, communities, and forms of spirituality. I'm your host, Teresa Marone, and my co-host, Lauren Santerre, will not be joining us today, but she's here with us in spirit. Our guests today are true women of impact. First, we'll have Tiffany Tarrant, a graduate of University of Houston Downtown with a bachelor's degree in interdisciplinary studies. Her passion is seeing youth live out their purpose through the teachings of Christianity, helped by her abstinence program, Pure Life. Next, we'll have Hannah Adair Bonner, who cultivates a new spoken word poetry. It's a focused community called The Shout, and it creates a space for artists, activists, and dreamers to collaborate in motivating people to engage in acts of justice. Finally, Ann Lister. She's a deputy regional director for the Get Covered America campaign. And that campaign was started by Enroll America, which is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization founded in 2010 to bring awareness to affordable health care options based on the Affordable Care Act. So I'm sure you can tell why I named this show Women of Impact. It is incredible. Now, I want to invite you to join us at bridgetsplace.org. We have a lot of amazing things going on, including a workshop in a week and a half based on the many faces of Mary Magdalene. Our workshop is being led by Dr. Kayleen Asbo, who's coming in from California. She is a triple PhD with her disciplines are creative writing, photography, art, and classical music, and she's going to be leading us through a day and a half of magical transformation, something that I know that you will enjoy. So join us at bridgetsplace.org for our current events and events in the future, and also our online community. Now, I'm ready to get started. Our guests today are so riveting. I cannot wait to meet them as you meet them right here on Gems of Wisdom. So let's get started today with Tiffany Tarrant. And Tiffany,
yes.
Are you with me, Tiffany?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, very good. I'm so excited to speak with you. But would you like to just kind of get started by giving our listeners a brief outline of your Pure Life program?
Yes. Well, basically, Pure Life was started in 2009. When I was just a volunteer at St. John's way before I became a youth pastor. But God put it on my heart to start this ministry because years ago when I was 15, I made that decision to abstain from sex until marriage. And so growing up, I was kind of like the only one that made that decision. I had people who supported me, friends who supported me, but it was somewhat of a lonely journey. And so I God placed it in my heart to start this ministry where our young people can have a platform where they can be given a different option, a different way, and just knowing that their body is valuable, that the best option is to wait, and there's so much more to look forward to. So I just wanted to give the youth the opportunity to make that choice, but to also have a group that can hold them accountable, which is their peers.
Well, that begs the question, Tiffany. You know, I have to just kind of jump in with you here and say, when you were 15 years old, something must have made an impression on you for you to make that kind of a grown-up decision. Because, I mean, I'll just give you the juxtaposition on that. When I was 15, all right, I wasn't being given any strong input on it either way. You know, I wasn't raised in the kind of home that had a lot of, you know, power in that particular area. And was that a decision based on religion, based on your parents, based on something else? Where were you at when you made that decision?
I believe, yeah, it did start in the church. My mom was the first youth pastor at St. John's, and so she had a few programs, what we call True Love Waits, and, you know, there was a few sessions that I attended, and I think maybe just being there, something kind of resonated with me, like, hey, you know, this is a decision that I need to make, not fully knowing all that it would entail or knowing the ups and downs of that journey, how it would definitely be a struggle. But I do believe it started in the church, but I would say maybe around 18 and 19, it really came about just me making this personal choice just to be that voice, to show people a different example, because it's so much on media, you know, TV, it's everywhere. So just to show our young people that it's possible. And so I think that's what it was for me, is that I just really feel like it was my call to, part of my calling to do that and to be that voice and to just help young people.
Well, you know, on Gems of Wisdom, we try to kind of go from every different angle. And I truthfully mm-hmm. believe that abstinence is the best way to go. I truly, truly do believe that. But I was raised in the 60s, and that way, you know, back in the 60s, we kind of had a whole different vibe going on, and that was before there was a lot of these diseases and a lot of the other things that are part of our society today that have nothing to do with that, but still make it very, very dangerous to, you know, online relationships and, you know, this whole a dating scenario that occurs online where you really don't meet, you know, until you're, you know, there's just so many things going on that weren't prevalent when I was growing up. But I think that it's really, you know, it's like everything old is new again. Back in the 40s and 50s, of course, that was just unheard of not to be in abstinence. And, you know, it was a true wedding night. It was true romance. And now I think that that's becoming much more popular. It's almost very common again. Do you feel that that's true?
Yeah, you know, I do feel like it's becoming common again. But I also feel like, you know, there's just a need to just be real with our young people. And I think that it's the different angle that I'm trying to go with, because most young people, when they hear this message, especially in the church, they're just told, don't do it. You know, these are the consequences, or, you know, they focus so much on the negative, and it's just just saying, you know what, here's another option that you have. You know, there's other things and goals in life that you can focus on, so here's just a different way, not to condemn them, but to just show them there's another path that you can take.
And at what age do you feel it's important to start getting this message to the kids?
As early as possible, I believe, as early as, you know, a young person can to kind of get the concept. I say that to say because, you know, I'm talking to a lot of young people, and they see and they hear things as young as 10, 11, you know. So you definitely want to make sure that you are educating our young people, or they're going to kind of find other ways to get educated, and they'll receive the wrong information that can potentially lead them down a destructive path. So as early as you can, you know, there's also different, you know, as young, you may not be as real with the young ones like you would with the teenagers, but you definitely have to provide that space to where, you know, if they have questions about it, they can get it from you.
Well, that also begs the next question. Do you feel that sex education, the way that it is taught in the schools, and, you know, it's pretty clinical, it's pretty precise, and it doesn't really have any, you know, any emotional quadrant to it. Do you have any input on sex education in the schools?
You know, I think they do a good job about talking about the consequences. They do a good job about that and educating our young people on, you know, STDs and teen pregnancy, and they give them a lot of facts. And so I admire that, and that is definitely needed. Our young people, you know, you can use those tactics, what I call scare straight tactics, because we have a piece in even in the Pure Life where it's just basically talking about STDs, teen pregnancies, those consequences. So I believe that that is important, but I do feel like it could be more of a push to let our young people know that abstinence is the best choice, just by giving them more to focus on how to enhance their life and how to enhance the plans that you know, that God has for them, just to focus on that, you know, not so much of this is the negative stuff, but what are some positive things that can come out of it?
Well, you know, the positive thing that I saw out of a relationship, I'm not going to call out the person I'm talking about because that wouldn't be fair, mm-hmm. but I saw a young person, you know, early 20s, and her and her fiance made the decision to, you know, be abstinent, and they had a fairly long engagement, you know. It was a couple of years, and they, you know, were finishing school and that kind of thing, so it made sense to wait till after school. But what they were focusing on, and this is what I thought was really beautiful, and it really, really made my heart warm, they were focusing on romance and
right.
The relationship and the communication skills and
right.
the crafting of how they saw the gender roles, the male and the female roles in the home. And they also were able to speak without emotion about once they did have their children, how that would look in raising children. So the conversation totally changed when you took that one aspect of the relationship off the table. That's not happening. So all of this other stuff became so much more enriched.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, was very beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of what kind of Pure Life focuses on, that I bring in couples who have waited and they talk about the benefits of their relationship. I bring in single people, you know, who may have had sex before, but now they're choosing to live a life of celibacy. But I just bring in different stories and just different ways to show them that it can be a beautiful thing, you know, but you have to start with knowing who you are. You know, I believe that's one of our first classes where we talk about identity, you know, knowing who you are. Because then when you know who you are, then you're not just going to settle for any person or any relationship. So we talk about healthy dating, setting boundaries, because, you know, young people, they call it, you know, going out or going together. That kind of starts in the teenage years. So just showing them things to pay attention to, that you can have fun, you know, you can have friends, you can date, but there's a way to do it so that you won't find yourself, you know, really struggling.
Oh, I love it. Tiffany, thanks so much for being on Gems of Wisdom today, and we'll get back with you at the end of the show for a few more words of wisdom.
All right, thank you.
All right. My next guest is Hannah Bonner. Now, I'm really, really excited to hear what she has to say about this spoken word poetry that gets the community on fire and starts to engage in acts of justice. So welcome, Hannah. How are you today?
Thank you. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Wonderful. So it's called The Shout. So do you actually have them shout?
On occasion, one of our speakers, Noah Rattler, who is an amazing thinker here in Houston, he does have us shout when he leads reflections. But the name shout comes from the first word of Isaiah 58, which is, in a way, Isaiah 58 was one of the early spoken word poets, prophet who wrote in poetry, a poetry that was actually meant to be orally delivered. And so Isaiah 58 is an early spoken word prophet that the Jewish community and the Christian community listened to. And Isaiah 58 says, shout, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. And it continues on to say, the verses that many people are familiar with, is not this the fast that I choose for you, to loose the bonds of injustice and to let the oppressed go free? And so that's the source of the name.
I love it. Well, Hannah, when did you start this community?
Yeah, so the shout started about a year ago in what we call Whisper. So sometimes you have to get real quiet in order to find the voice to guide you. And so we would gather with young people, activists and thinkers and dreamers and artists in the city, and talk about what our city needs, what our community needs, and share stories, because justice is something that you cannot find alone. We have to find it through community, and particularly if you're a person like myself, who hasn't been borne the brunt of injustice in this country, I'm not the one to know what the answers are. I think that the voices and the stories of those who have actually experienced injustice need to be the voices to lead us. And so the shout creates the space for those voices to be heard. So we've been doing it since September. Shortly after the murder of Michael Brown in August, we had our first shout in September, and we have been building solidarity in the city ever since then. I think this next one coming up is our 14th shout on July 28th. And the question, each month we have a different question that we ask, and we have artists in the community answer the question from their own personal places of action, spirituality, experience, in a way that guides us towards how to understand each other's stories and respond better.
And is this held at St. John's?
The shout is out in the community, so it's a mobile movement, and we are, I like to call, you know, say that we are the solidarity building arm of St. John's. But we meet in coffee shops and warehouses and studios and all different places around the city. Our home for the summer has been Mecca, which is the Multicultural Education and Counseling Through the Arts Center, which is between Washington Boulevard and Memorial, it is Washington Avenue and Memorial Boulevard, and so they have a venue there where we have our performance events, and then we've been meeting in different coffee shops around town for those continuing whisper conversations where we build solidarity and community. We're all over the place.
Well, it might sound like a disingenuous question, but I have to ask, is the dreamers, you say, create space for artists, activists, and dreamers. Are the dreamers the ones that are disenfranchised from citizenship, or is that dreamer in the traditional sense?
In the traditional sense, but certainly we have within our community voices from throughout the plethora of experiences of struggle here in Houston. And so we have been blessed to have a few different meetings at the Station Museum in Third Ward, which, if you haven't heard about that, it's really an amazing space to check out, where they exhibit visual arts that help us to understand justice issues in our community. And they've had a great exhibit there called Deportation Nation, or Detention Nation. And so we've had a few meetings there where we've talked about issues around immigration, and where we have had some powerful voices share with us. But we do, when I say dreamers, mean it more in the sense of those who have hope.
Right. So your voice extends throughout many cultures, many issues, and it's not exclusive. You're open to quite a few different social.
Right, and that's because the journey that we're on as a community is one in which we can go further together, and where each voice and each experience is important. And you know, unfortunately, as a culture, we often hear more from voices that have the ability to take the mic, essentially. And so we are trying to broaden the message that's getting out there, and give a space for people's voices to be heard and stories to be heard, and to bring together an audience of those who are willing to hear and respond to the cry for compassion and justice and action in their community. And so the focus on building the actual community, what might traditionally be called an audience, for our events is just as important as building the community of those who are on the mic.
I got it. I love that, and it's truly interactive. But so we have a mayoral race coming up in Houston and a national election coming up. Hannah, where do you stand? Are you going to get involved in politics this year on the local or national level? I just need a yes or no. We can have another conversation about anything in the issues, but it's a perfect year to get involved.
Yeah, well, we're always involved in the work of justice, and so I think that sometimes there can be an overlap between that politicians can get involved in doing the work of justice, and people who are involved in justice can engage in making demands of politicians that they listen to the cry of their community. And that's what when people organize to make their voices louder, perhaps so that those who are really suffering in our community can have their voices heard, even if they don't have the dollars that many people use to exert influence over our elected officials, but to reach out to the hearts and the compassion and the ethics and the conscience of our politicians. But in general, on a personal level, I'm focused on the work of justice and making voices heard, and I am thrilled when we have the opportunity to make those voices heard by those who have the ability to do something with that information. But personally, I'm focused on the work of creating just communities, and when that overlaps with political the willingness of people involved in politics, that's great.
Well, Hannah, I will get back to you at the end of the show for a quick word of wisdom from you. But you are you're an interesting conversationalist. Let's just put it like that. Thank you so much for sharing some ideas. You're a compelling woman, a real woman of impact. So we'll be back with you in just a few moments. My next guest is Ann Lister, and she is someone that I'm really interested in talking with today. The Get Covered America campaign, which is started by the Enroll America nonprofit, kind of got started when this new Affordable Care Act came on. So, Ann, welcome to Gems of Wisdom.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate being here.
Well, we appreciate having you. This is a great show. I just want to tell you, you know, when the Affordable Care Act first came out, my family was personally impacted by it. And then one of my friends was personally impacted by it right away. Like it started at 12:01 on January 1st, I believe it was 2010. Uh-huh. And within 30 days, I, in my family, with two family members, two very close family members, my sister being one of them, and one of my friends who had just been diagnosed with terminal cancer, she was only 36 years old. Away, as of January 1, 2010, their lives changed for the better in such a tangible, amazing way. I could never again listen to anyone just saying all of this, you know, there's just so much noise surrounding the Affordable Care Act. And every time I started hearing this, well, you know, this is going to raise my insurance. And, you know, I'm just like, you know, I don't want to talk to anybody that hasn't like really studied it, because all I can tell you is that my sister, another really close family member, and one of my best friends, their lives completely changed for the better, compassionately for the better on every level in the space of 24 hours. So, you know, I am a huge fan. So tell me, what got you started in wanting to be a champion of the Affordable Care Act?
Well, what got me started is my passion for people. I am a minister, and I love anything that has to do with taking care of the needs of my fellow citizens. I'm passionate about, because I believe that it's not a privilege for us to have health care insurance. It is a human right for us to have health care insurance. And so because of my spiritual walk, I got involved. And I have been with Enroll America for a little over probably about a year and a half. And I get great joy going out and talking to different groups about getting involved and making sure that people in their communities get involved in healthcare, because we are a community outreach. We don't do the enrollment, but we connect people to someone who can help them enroll in affordable healthcare options.
I see. Well, that's as important as the enrollment organizations as well, because a lot of people have so many questions that they don't even make that call. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the educational piece is the most important, because there's been so much disinformation by people who are trying to tank it and, you know, get it rescinded, that a lot of people really don't know what to believe. You know, I was trying to communicate at the beginning of our conversation, because I was able to see it in action, I didn't need the answers to the questions that I would normally be asking, and I would not have known where to go to ask those questions. And now we do, to the Get Covered America campaign, which is part of Enroll America. And specifically, ask for Ann Lister. I'm sure your phone number is published all over the internet, and we could just call you up at any time of the night.
And actually, Teresa, I must close that I am moving. I'm moving forward in my life, however, I will continue doing the work with Enroll America, the Get Covered America campaign, because it's my passion. People need to know that there is financial assistance. There's still financial assistance. That nothing has gone away, and we're really excited about the Supreme Court ruling for same-sex marriage, because we are able to offer them, now they can get enrolled. They can enroll their partner and send health care insurance. And so we are really excited about that. Matter of fact, that is the campaign that we're in now. Because they have that's a special enrollment period. They fall within the special enrollment period, and they have 90 days to enroll their new partner, their new spouse, into the health care insurance. And so we, like I said, I will always do the work. I am taking a leap of faith and moving forward, but I told them I won't be on the Enroll America payroll, but I will still be a part of the Get Covered America campaign.
Well, I'm sure whatever you're doing is a really good fit. And I'd like to invite all the ladies to come and join me again on Gems of Wisdom for a show that's more featured just on you, because each of you have so much to offer as far as to our listeners. But I would like to ask you a couple of pointed questions, Anne. Is that all right with you?
Uh-huh. Sure.
Well, first of all, I mean, I just want the short answers to this, and I know we could talk for days, but what would you feel is the most misunderstood part of the Affordable Care Act? I mean, I know what I've heard, but what would you say is the one thing of those people out there who think that this is just, you know, the most evil thing that ever happened? What is the one thing you'd like to say to them that they probably don't really get?
That it is affordable. There is information out about the affordability. It is affordable. What many don't understand is that the way that the bill was written, and you said short answer, but the way that the bill was written.
Well, this isn't too long.
The way that the bill was written, it was written based on everyone getting coverage, every state expanding Medicaid. And so a lot of people don't understand, they don't understand that part of the bill as it relates to our state. And that's why we do the education, because it is affordable for people who qualify for the tax credit. And I'll just leave it at that.
Right. I mean, I think that, you know, there's also kind of a right brain leap of faith, kind of a, you know, with all the people who were uncovered, that kind of ends up we still have to treat them and there's no place for that money to come from, kind of a thing. And this kind of ties that loophole up by making healthcare. And I think a lot of and you know, bear with me, I'm not trying to be labeling people, or but the left brain point of view is that that doesn't make sense, but it makes perfect sense to me. do you know what I'm saying? You know, I understand that if, let's just say, 100 people go to the emergency room in the month of March and they don't have insurance, and you know, we still have to treat them and they still, you know, spend this amount of money, that with the Affordable Care Act, we at least have a place that we can put that line item and know where the funds are coming in order to handle that, because now they're officially in the system. So I think that that's a huge thing as well.
Yes.
You know, I might not be as verbose as you, but no one talks about that if they're against the Affordable Care Act. If they're against the Affordable Care Act, it always comes down to, well, my insurance went up. And I'm thinking, well, what did you do?
And I think, you know, that is relative. I think it just depends on the situation, because people, like you said, insurance goes up for different reasons. One of the things, though, that the Affordable Care Act did is that now insurance companies have to cover at least 10 essential things, and pre-existing condition is the major. It's the major reason that for the Affordable Care Act being so pivotal in our society today. Because for years, I mean, I grew up in the 50s and 60s, so I'm along with you, Teresa.
Things have changed.
Pre-existing conditions was unheard of back in the 60s and the 70s. And now a person can get covered who has just been diagnosed with cancer or diabetes or whatever.
How many people, and I know we're getting off on a tangent, but I love it. How many people do you know? I mean, I can name 10. You know, I won't name them by the rule, but I could name 10 that wouldn't go to the doctor until they found out where their health insurance was coming from, even though they knew they had something that was potentially life-threatening, because they didn't want it on their chart as a pre-existing condition, because they knew they wouldn't get covered. Like they were about to get married and their spouse was going to cover them in 6 months. You know, like I know I'm going to have health insurance in 8 months, so I'm not going to go to the doctor for 8 months because I know I won't be able to get health insurance if this is on my chart. And if it's what I fear, I won't be able to get insurance. And people die that way. You know, okay, so I'm kind of going to get down off of my soapbox and get back. I'm not going to take one of my pills. Seconda always wants me to take a pill and calm down, and I'm like, you know what, I'm out of pills. You know, I ran out of pills. So I know.
I understand, but when we don't have pills, we can take a deep breath.
Oh, that's good. I always forget about that deep breath thing. No. I think this is great. And Anne, you've been an absolute pleasure. Listen, let me circle back with our other guests, and I'll come back, and you can give us our final words of wisdom on the show today, all right?
Okay, all right. Thank you.
Okay, great. Okay, so Tiffany, darling, I'm going to bring you back on at this time. Are you with me?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, good. So what would you like for our listeners to kind of take into their life right now? If they are the parent of a preteen or a young teen, or if they have a young teen or a preteen in their life that they are, you know, have a close relationship with, what words of wisdom would you like to impart to them?
I would just say, you know, just from experiences and talking to our young people, is to be open with your children, you know, and create a safe place and atmosphere for them to be able to come to you. You know, a lot of times I think a lot of our young people are afraid to go to their parents for, you know, with these pressing concerns and issues, because they're afraid of what their parents might say or think. And so I believe, you know, topics like sex, like it should come also from the parents, you know, not just from the schools or from the church, but they need to provide that, that space where they can feel comfortable and to be real with them. And so just giving them that opportunity to be heard. You know, a lot of them feel like, oh, my parents, they don't listen to me. You know, they're just kind of telling me what to do. But giving them an opportunity to be heard and to be listened to so that they can be open, you know, to come to you a safer place than going to the world or the media or, you know, their friends or their peers that are kind of steering them in the wrong direction. But just creating that safe space.
Thank you so much, Tiffany. I appreciate you being on Gems of Wisdom, and I'd love to invite you back.
Yes, anytime. I would love to be back.
Thank you. Next, Hannah. I really enjoyed speaking with you, Hannah, and I would love for you to give our listeners just a little bit of an idea of how to take that one thing that they feel the most passionate about and to make a difference with that by joining a group like yours or joining a group that is yours.
Yeah, and I mean, one way to get connected with what we're doing is, you know, on social media, we are at TheShoutHTX, and we're constantly daily posting what's going on, whether we're getting together for an open mic or a gathering, as well as TheShoutHouston.com. The email is theshoutatx@gmail.com. So definitely reach out to us if you're interested in getting involved. In terms of just generally getting involved in your community, like just would suggest that people listen and hear what's going on. And, you know, when you encounter a story that, that is different from yours, when you're hearing that somebody in your community is struggling with something, just seek not to go into a place of guilt or indifference, but into a place of asking yourself, what can I do about this? What, how can I get involved? How can I listen? So just encouraging folks to listen to what's going on in their communities and their neighborhoods and their cities, and to then ask themselves, what can I do about this? Instead of, you know, don't be overwhelmed with injustice when you encounter it, but ask yourself, what can I do?
That sounds beautiful. Thank you so much, Hannah, and I would love to have you back on Gems of Wisdom for an episode all of your own.
Thank you.
All right. And finally, Anne, I welcome you back to speak a few words about getting enrolled and giving the listeners a couple of dates. I know enrollment is open to a certain date. Can you help us with getting health care?
Okay. First, I'd like to speak with those who are same gender loving and recently married. You have 60 days, not 90, but 60 days to enroll in affordable health care insurance. And the open enrollment period for everyone who wants to take advantage of affordable health care options is November the 1st, 2015 to January 31st, 2016. So make sure that you go and get enrolled. And there's all kinds of help, especially in the city of Houston. We have the Houston Collaborative, and I can give you a phone number to call. It's a local number, 832-393-5423, or go to getcoveredamerica.org for more information.
Thank you, ladies. You are all women of impact, and I appreciate each one of you so much. I'm Teresa Marone, and this is Gems of Wisdom, and I want to remind you to visit BridgetsPlace.org for more information about our sponsor. We are a soul sanctuary for women, inspiring the hearts and minds and lives of women through art, charity, and community. We have lots of things going on, including this radio show, which is you know, one of my special pets. And join us at what I said, BridgetsPlace.org, but you can also click on Gems of Wisdom there and hear the archive of this show. We appreciate you, and we invite you to join back into your day with some of the inspiration that our guests have provided today. Thank you so much, and see you next week. Mm-hmm.